morning, Patriots. I'll tell you, it is June 16th, Wednesday, June 16th, already, and the hand puppet, Joe Biden, is still trying to act like a president, and Mattress Back Harris is still being a slut. I don't know what else to say. It's pretty much it. Oh, and Jim Hansen's still running the government. So besides that, everything's normal. Welcome to America in 2021. Pretty nice. I think Mattress Back Harris used to be a man anyway. That's just like, oh my goodness. Just the thought of that makes you want to like, can I go back to sleep now, please? Please, pretty please. I want this. Oh my goodness. We need to like get the bleach out and scrub that idea out of our head. But what we can do is start with a positive idea. And that's what we'll do. And we'll start with that great idea of the slipper revolution, because that makes everybody feel good. And you say, why? What is the slipper revolution? And I say, well, the slipper revolution is a celebration and proclamation of showing our love and support for America's greatest CEO, Mike Lindell. And that happens on the 27th of August, and that happens in St. Charles, Missouri, and that happens at Bards Fest on the 27th of August at St. Charles, Missouri. And what goes on? Well, you see, the cancel culture left decided to destroy $65 million in sales for my pillow. So patriots are now rallying around the world to show the cancel culture left that we can cancel them by bringing back over $65 million in sales. And just how are we going to do that? Well, we do that by purchasing at least a pair of my slippers, because you're going to need them for the Slipper Revolution Day, which is the 27th of August, and probably a bunch of other stuff like my pillows and my sheets and my comforter and my towels. You do that by going to mypillow.com with the Bards code, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S. That's your promo code. And you get to save all sorts of money. It's crazy. Like, it just vanishes when you put that in there. Bards, boom, here goes the money. Or you can call 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939. And you can talk to a real person. They're going to say hello, and you're going to say hi. And you're going to say, what can I do for you? It's like, I want to save a bunch of money. And I'm like, oh, you must be from the Bards family. You're like, you bet I am. I'm from the best podcast on the whole web. And what's the magic code? And you're going to be like, the secret code is Bards. Gate open, you can enter the kingdom. Just like that. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to work with, when you say that with God, though. So when you get up there and God's like, what's the secret code? And you go, Bards, he's going to be like, huh? I was just kidding you. There's no secret code here. Yeah, don't do that. But for my pillow, there is the promo code Bards. Share that code, share it around. Let's get all sorts of fantastic savings going on. Let's give Mike some great love, because he loves our country. He loves Christ. And he's a patriot like no other, fighting for us all the time. So that's it. MyPillow.com, Bards promo code, B-A-R-D-S, and or the 800 number, 975-2939. And you've got a package you can't beat, and lots of savings and some great products. Okay. So here we go. Did you know? I just got this morning. It's this. Franklin Graham. We all know who he is, I think. Remember the guy that was telling everybody that the injection was biblical? Yeah, that Franklin Graham. Same Franklin Graham that took a picture of himself with a big smile in front of Voodoo Donuts in Portland. Yeah, that Franklin Graham. So here's what we have. Franklin gets $72 million from the federal government yearly for his Samaritan's purse. Isn't that interesting? Now, that would suggest to me that there was 72 reasons, or I should say 72 million reasons, for him to push the injection. So And that does not count USAID grants. If you understand USAID, which you may or may not, let me explain what the USAID is. One, or it's a couple of things. One, it is a money laundering place for liberal politics in which they siphon off taxpayer money and they shove them into policies for the global elite. Two, it is a way to pay off friendly deep state warlords. And three, it's a place where the CIA operates out of all the time under the cover of being part of the, quote, State Department. USAID is more CIA than it is anything else. And if it's not directly CIA, it's always linked to them in one way or another. So, Franklin Graham is getting money from the federal government for his Samaritan's purse. That's $72 million. And he's getting money from USAID grants. Now, how far a stretch do you think it is if Hollywood is willing to get in bed with the CIA and the CIA is willing to use Hollywood for its nefarious purposes? How far a stretch do you think at Hollywood and big churches are all doing the same, since the CIA is ultimately run by the Jesuits? Think about what I'm saying. And now we're going to begin with Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Stewardship is the biggest challenge we all face. God has unlimited heart to give, and there's unlimited wealth that God will deliver to those that are walking in his path. What you ask for, he will provide. This is not prosperity ministry. Notice, I will use the word as I talk about this. Stewardship is the key word. This is not that ministry pile of smelly horse manure called Creedlow dollars, prosperity dollar, prosperity gospel junk. Most of the biggest abomination to God's name as we can possibly imagine. And there's others besides him. He just happens to always be on the top of my list for asking for something like $450 million for his fifth jet. It's like, dude, there's something called commercial. Sit your butt in a seat. Shut up. Save God. And why don't you save God in the process about $449,040,000. The issue at hand here is stewardship. When we go about what prosperity and wealth are provided for us by God, they are not provided to us. They are provided for us to use as stewardship for his kingdom. And God's not asking people to go out and live in a... You can. I'm not telling you can't do it. But I'm just saying God's not expecting people to walk around and live in a cardboard box as he rains prosperity upon us. And I'm going to not use that term because every time I say it, I cringe. As God brings about the wealth that we need in this world. But it is all about a process of stewardship. And there's so many edgy traps on this. We have to be so, so careful. And so much of this is about intent and delivery. There are some things that we can do that we just don't do because they're the wrong thing. When you start to get in bed with people giving money, let me go back to this thing about Franklin Graham. Get $72 million from federal government yearly. It's very important when they say things like this. And I'm not accusing the writers of that piece of wrong. What I'm saying is there's a deception that occurs right in those words that they may not even be aware of that they're saying even in their own words. When he gets $72 million, that means he's contracted with somebody to get that. They don't just go out and give money. And if he's receiving money from USAID, that means he's contracted. And I've been through the contracting process. I had a small defense contracting company. I did some work with many agencies. You don't just get money. Somebody doesn't walk in here and go, you know what? You're a good guy. And I love the company you have, and I love the philosophy you have. So the federal government has decided today to give you some money. No, that doesn't happen. And this is why I was saying before, when you heard that the Pentagon was said to have given money to a nonprofit that was now funding research in Wuhan labs. That's that word give, take that out. Receive, take that out. It's contracted with, which means you are signing a contract of agreement of certain deliverables and certain expectations. And the minute that those fangs get in you, they now begin to control you. One of the things that I fought in, and one of the reasons I ended up getting out of defense contracting, is because there's a principle of what they call butts in seats. And what that means is it doesn't matter what contract you take, because the whole principle for your company in the Department of Defense is just to get people on contracts. So if your specialty is making a special widget, and you're able to get a contract that just puts some people doing analysis on spaceships. I'm just making this up. Totally unrelated to the work you're doing. That's okay in the defense world, because what you're doing is for every person that you contract, they represent a value of cash flow into your company. So the point is, what your company stands for becomes irrelevant. You're just trying to fill seats. That's an overall philosophy in the defense industry. And I refuse to run a company that way. We had a specialty. That's what we did. We had a philosophy. That's how we live by. And so after a while, it was just too much of a fight. I was like, I'm not going to fight this beast. So that same issue happens. Anybody gets in bed and you read things like, he received, he was given. There's not, receiving is received by contract. Given is given by contract. Awarded a contract, yes. But everything else, no. So there were terms and conditions placed forth for Franklin Graham to receive his $72 million plus his money for USAID. And USAID is anything but pro-Christian. Keep that in mind, what I just said. They are anything but pro-Christian. Their leadership comes from the bowels of the secret societies that are fostered in the Ivy League schools. If you're making a deal with them, you might as well be sitting down with the devil himself and saying, what do you want me to do for you as your servant, O Dark Lord? This is what has happened to our leadership in the modern world. Now, the question I ask, first question I would ask is, in a separation of church and state, what was a church doing contracting with the state for money? That should be the first question everybody looks at when they see that. It's like, wait a minute, why was the church under Franklin Graham receiving money from the state when it is stated in our Constitution that there must be a separation of church and state? Not a separation of telling the church that they can't speak of state issues, which is what they've done in the modern day, because they've taken the sellout platform of a 501c3. Just in principle anymore of 501c3s. Hear my story on episode 64, Patriots. I'm transparent about what happened with my own experience with a 501c3. Okay? Man, God taught me a lesson. That's all I can say. And I'll never go near those things again. I had a really good person the other day offer, like, we've built this whole 501c3 if you would like. And they're expensive to build and they're expensive to maintain. And they just do it very graciously. It's like, we'll offer this to you if you'd like. And I was gracious, but like, no, I can't. I will never again in my life, walking with God in my heart, come near one of those devil organizations. If someone's going to tithe to you, God shows this every single day, and I just want to say this because there are so many amazing people out here, Patriots, and there's people that have sent in money in the last, they send in gifts and money that are just a blessing. And I'm humbled, and we've received cash from people recently for Bard's Fest, just out of the love of their heart, and all of it's being applied to that, so I'm clear. But there's no 501c3. People aren't doing this because they're like, hey, I'm sending you a little bit here because I expect to get my 50% back from the federal government on my taxes. What's most amazing is to watch the true tithing occur. By the way, just total sidebar, and I haven't figured out who sent this yet, and whoever you are that sent this, I want to tell you one of the most humbling and cool gifts I received, and it doesn't take away from anything anybody has sent, so please, but it was a surprise. I got this long box yesterday. I was like, huh. Of course, I'm doing one of these things like, what in the world did I order? Okay, good. It didn't come from Amazon. Whew. I didn't have like some wake up in the middle of the night and go type, 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 type. So that was and I was like, okay. So what is this? So, and there's not a name on it. There's just, and I'll just leave it at that. There's not a name on it. There's a return address, fortunately. So I can send a beautiful thank you note. So I open this up and there's lots of paper inside. That's kind of like Christmas, you know, like, oh, what's this? You know, of course, you're thinking, better not be a bomb. You got to do the bomb check real quick, right? Whatever that looks like. Hopefully, when you cut it open with your knife, you don't trip a wire or something. And don't get any ideas either, Patriots. No fake bombs either. That doesn't work. So anyway, so I open it up, and what is it? Patriots, it's a beautiful, it's like an organic root, long, long, straight staff. And I mean, it's just powerful because it has Hebrew writing inscribed on it. It's beautiful. And yeah, it's kind of, I just saw one of our mods on the board write shepherd staff, very much kind of like an old wise man shepherd staff. It is cool. I'm going to bring it to Bard's Fest. It was coolness. Anyway, get up there and I'll slipper slap somebody who's not supposed to be there. Like, Antifa, if you're coming, we're going to slipper slap the snuggers out of you. And then I'll take that staff and I'll smack you. But someone just wrote, one of our mods, try parting the water. Okay, I'll do it. I'll go to the river. Gotta be like, what are you doing? I was like, I can only serve one master, Lord, and I'm here. He's gonna be like, yes, but now you're doing reruns. I don't do reruns. I'm like, okay, just thought I'd try. But anyway, you can't serve two masters. And I serve one. I serve God through Christ to the Father. So serve our Lord Jesus Christ through to the Father. And I just, it is amazing to me. It is truly amazing to me when I see these organizations that could do so much good. You know, Franklin Graham has this annual thing, and I participated in it. And they do beautiful stories, and it touches people's hearts. And you've seen them. They're the Christmas boxes, the shoebox program. I can't even think of the name of it. And you fill it full of all sorts of goodies, and then they take them up and they send them all over the world. It's kind of like care packages. And they've touched many in that program. Oh, someone just reminded me, it's called Operation Christmas Child. Thank you. And it's a beautiful program. I'm not taking away from the man in the program. Two different things. God works amazing things in there. And I'll tell you some of the stories. Oh, some of the coolest stories ever. If you've watched any of those videos about what that has meant to people. So it is, when you see that and then you see this other side. And the minute that I hear USAID is involved, now I start to get like, ugh. Because that sort of program, just so you understand, and I'm not suggesting it is, but I'm going to tell you the first place one needs to look of where the USAID influence is here it comes. Operation Christmas Child. You got to look right there. Hate to tell you. But that's exactly where they would go. And you need to look at what money's running behind Operation Christmas Child. Because this is how influence programs work. And this is how influence to corrupt organizations work. You know, if we had a government that was benevolent, loved Christ openly, wanted to support great ministry, we'd still have a problem. Because by our Constitution, it says there's a separation between church and state. And there's a reason for that. And that is that God should not be put in a place, I should say it this way, the institutions of God should not be put in a place where they are dependent or influenced by politics. They need to function independently as places of truth and worship and the love of Christ. And that's simple. That's simple. So when you start accepting those sorts of things, money, contracts, you're going to completely lose your way. So let's go through Matthew, the full section here, Matthew 6, 19 to 24, which in this is NIV, stand on a minute, hang on a minute. I have to go to ESV. So in Matthew 6, 19 to 24, that section is referred to or titled as Lay Up Treasures in Heaven. Of course, those are extra titles, not in Scripture. And it's called Lay Up Treasures in Heaven. Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. I want to stop there for a minute. When we start to accumulate into a hoard and to build empires that are dependent upon wealth and money, in the sense that that becomes the worship, we now start worrying, just the first step of this downward spiral, is we start worrying about things getting stolen or lost or not being effective. When we all commit to this path of God and faith, we have to walk a different path. And it's not something we're accustomed to in this culture. We have to steward the gift differently. Here's an interesting question. I wonder how many people in Franklin Graham's organization live with debt. And how many of those people have their debt paid for by the church that Franklin Graham has set up? Now think about what I'm just saying here. You cannot serve two masters, right? You cannot serve two masters. So if you are working in a ministry that's doing its ministry across the world, and your staff and your leadership is all consumed with debt and living with debt, from my perspective, that's a contradiction. Because you're walking with enslavement on one hand, and you're walking with God's life on the God's love on the other, and those two things are diametrically opposed. If we are going to be of the modern day, in the modern day, rebuilding the ecclesia, the concept of the church as it should be, you can have no debt for those that are within, and there must be a commitment that no one lives with debt. That means that part of the role of the church must be to take care of those that are within the church. That doesn't mean you're going to get some big brand new house up on Fifth Avenue with a new fancy car. But it does mean stewardship in the sense of ensuring that those that work within those confines, or those, the empire is not a good term, the worship space of the church that are doing the work of God must be freed from the burdens and traps of debt. And there must be a commitment that they will not return to that. So continuing with Matthew 6:22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is wealthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Lots of meanings in there, lots of things, but you know, they say that old saying, the eyes are the gateway to the soul. And if you're seeing through God's eyes, seeing with light, you're seeing what is before you, not as accumulation, not as amassing your treasures here on earth, not spending your time worrying if thieves break in and steal and things rot and destroy. Because those are the things that then begin to control us. Stewardship. That word comes in my vocabulary probably 1,000 times every day in one way or another. Stewardship. When we place stewardship of God's gifts before us in everything, and I'm not just talking like, oh, cool, I got a bonus at work. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. Someone comes up and gifts you something. It's everything. It's everything. We look around us and we say, my goodness, look what I have. However humble or however great, when we honor everything that we have and we walk with life with stewardship in our heart, we're always looking for ways to do what? To give. Because that's what God's asking us to do, to give. And the more that we give, God will replenish, because all wealth comes from God. It doesn't come from the federal government, Franklin Graham. It doesn't come from the USAID contracts, Franklin Graham. And it doesn't come from a 501c3 contract that says, I'm going to give to you, my church, as long as I get something back. That's not a tithe. That's not a gift from the heart. That's thievery from God. And think about what I just said. It's thievery from God. You have given in the 501c3 gift model, you have given to God. As part of this, you've given a gift, which is part of the tithe, to respect and honor the Spirit, the Lord, And in the same time, you're saying on the back end, with a return on the investment for me, please, which is all that is. It's just an ROI. An ROI to come back in my bank account because, yep, I felt good this year. Man, I gave the church $10,000, and guess what, man? I got $5,000 off of my taxes. Woo, high five on that one. As I kick your butt into the elevator and God says, press the down button. I'm like, can I give him a little cup of water? It's like, nope, straight on down to the lake of fire. You can't serve two masters. Can't serve two masters. And when you and your eyes become obsessed with serving one, you lose the light of God and you start to obsess with that one in the sense of this example. When you're serving the one that's material, wealth, power, it's where money leads. It leads to the same trap every time. That's the power of Babylonian money magic. So once you start down that path, it slowly erodes. It's not a sudden, it's slowly eroding. And it's a constant reset. I want to tell you this. Everything around our world is built on money. So we have to make a conscious choice every day, every action, what we need. I'm just going to ask a question. It's not a judgment. But ask yourself this, I would encourage you to do, because this is a process I've worked into my life, and it's a really interesting process, so I'd encourage you to try it if you don't. But every time, whether it is a bill, whether it is a food item of necessity, whether it is a clothing item, whether it's going out to dinner, whether it's something extra you're buying for yourself just because you want it, even a beautification item in the home. Do you pray on that and ask yourself and ask God, is it something that fits within the gifts that God gave me? Because the wealth that we're spending at that moment is not ours. It is what God has given us, not the corporation. I know that may be a surprise to some. It's like, well, wait a minute, the corporation writes my checks. Yeah, well, guess what? God's providing that wealth from you through a vehicle. All wealth comes from God in all spans. But in this particular topic, money is one of those things of wealth, and it's not limited to money. Wealth is not limited to money. That's just one little drop in the bucket, but it's one that's so tangible to us because it's so powerful, because it's what connects us to things and also the other things that we need. When you start to ask that question every time, here's what begins to happen. You become aware of the things that you definitely need, and then you can start asking yourself, can I provide for myself? Okay, not all things will be answered on that with yes, by the way. But it's an awareness. It's amazing. When you start to develop the awareness in where the purchase is going, how it's being used, and the relationship that that brings you to God, you begin to accomplish another level of accountability to the Lord. Not everybody's going to suddenly give up their work and move into the mountains and build a grass hut and walk around in bare feet and a loincloth and get back to nature. I'm not suggesting that. But when we do this, we develop a relationship to every single piece, item, purchase, whatever it is in our life. And it's such an important relationship when we're asking that question. We're praying on it and asking. And I mean literally everything. Going to the store, yeah, whoa. You know, and it's like, maybe I don't know if I need that today. You know, or like, you know what? I could make that tonight and I could do that myself if I took a few minutes. I could make that myself. I don't have to buy it off the shelf. It's a humility. And then when we look at the gift that we're using, the money, we become good stewards. And there's a variety of ways of being good stewards. My mother is one of these people that I swear she makes a second income just by stewarding every single penny in her purchase. I've never seen somebody that can go in and look at the same stuff I do in a store. And she walks away and I'm like, how did you just do that? Because like, we have the same items and you just spent $20 less than me. That's stewardship in an amazing way. Men are not good bargain shoppers. I just want to say that. God bless our women. And with that, there is also the whole principle of, there's another, here's a man's version of stewardship, and it's a different view, but I'm serious what I'm going to say here. A man's way of a stewardship, you'll hear it, and it's not all men, but this is more of a man's way of saying this, is, you know, I'm going to buy something, and it's going to be more expensive, but I'm going to buy it once. Because it's, I'll take an example, like you're going to buy some equipment for your shop, or you're going to buy some equipment for your studio or something like that. And I do this regularly. It's just a principle I have. I will research the heck out of something before I buy it, and then make sure that it's something that God's okay with. But then I'm not going to go for the cheapest. Too often it ends up being the most expensive or up on the upper end. But I know that when I buy it, it will never be replaced. At least if I have anything to say about it. It's a one-time purchase, right? But it's also all framed within the same principle. We're checking in with God on all of this, and we're stewarding the gift that he gave us so that we do all that we can. We're serving him, not serving the desires and passions that money drives us to. Real simple rule on that. It's like, slow down, hombre. Don't buy so fast. No impulse buying here. So no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And that's the key. And that's why I encourage this process. Because when you take time to pray and to ask on everything, and I mean everything, that you purchase, one of the most powerful control mechanisms in our life is money. The lures of credit cards, of buying more beyond our means than we have, the lures of impulse buying, of just, I need to get something today to make me feel good. This is one of the most common things within marketing, is how to get people to purchase things that they don't need. And it happens every day. Purposeful and intentful way of living. And when we do that, everything that we do, we strip away one of the great powers in our life, again, Babylonian money magic, that weaves its way in, and then we don't end up with great things that we do being corrupted by money. And, you know, some of that too is we have to sometimes just sit. Let's say you're ready to, you know, I'm going to get this. Sometimes just take a breath on it. Maybe you'll take an extra month. I don't know, maybe it'll take 6 months, maybe it'll take 2 hours, I don't know. But let God show you. Let God lead you. And in a world that we're working in this very limited world of wealth concept, where every single thing in this world, in the idea of wealth, is whittled down to the relationship between the item, the talent, the gift, and its value in terms of physical currency, which is so disgusting. We have to build a process in our life so that every single thing that we do runs through God first. It takes away our impulse that it gets misdirected or controlled. It takes away these unnecessary desires, which are just trying to satiate ourselves with material things. And we're not going to be 100% on this. I'm just going to be clear. You're going to make mistakes. We all do. And that's what we call prayer and asking for forgiveness. But let God guide everything there. Build that relationship in your life, and you will find such a power, if you don't do it already, it's such a power of how to transform the world and what happens right there. It's beautiful. can't serve two masters. We can't serve both God and money. And I choose God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in this time that we live, as we become more clear in our path and we see with eyes to see, ears to hear, as we walk along this sordid path which takes us in and out of the world of deception and traps and lures, Lord, we pray truly for the clarity in our hearts to always work through you in all temptations and all desires, to humble ourselves before you with each and every breath. And Lord, as we move in a world that's constructed with taking all of your gifts, all of your talents that you've given us, all the blessings that you've rained upon us, in a world where all of those things are converted to some term of value in dollars, value in coin, currency, money, let us humble ourselves before you, Lord, in the most small of interactions with that Babylonian system to the greatest of interactions with that Babylonian system. Let us rest and rely on you, Lord, for the guidance in moving through this, that all things that we do are done with prayer. All things that we purchase, all things that we acquire are done through prayer. That are put before you to open our heart up and let you fill our heart with the proper intent so that we don't succumb to the traps of greed and want and desire of the material things that can be so devastating. For Lord, we know, as is said in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, and Lord, we will not serve money. We will serve only you, Lord. Let us be humbled with all that you provide and all, and blessed by all the gifts and the enormous wealth on so many levels and so many dimensions that you provide to us. Let us not be deceived by the idea that wealth is limited only to a bank account or a credit card purchase limit. Instead, let us see wealth as it is, the bounty of things that you give in our life. Wealth in love, wealth in worship, wealth in gifts and talents, the true wealth of this world. And let us trust in you, Lord, for you shall deliver what we need. And let us truly put our trust there, not our trust and loyalty to the deception and deceivers of money. Thank you, our Lord, for all you provide. May you cleanse our heart from the deceptions that rest within. May you guide us and protect us. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Be free of those traps. Person said to me once, very good friend of mine who's since passed, deep in faith. And he said, you know, there's nothing more powerful in the world than a dollar bill. He said, think about it this way. It's a piece of paper. Nothing more. And yet, that piece of paper converts physical energy of the passions and creations that are within you that God's asked you to do in this world. It converts all of those amazing moments in your life. It converts it to a piece of paper used to buy a material thing. He said that one piece of paper has more energy in it than nearly anything on the face of the earth, and he's right. So let us walk purely with God, put all of our priorities through God, and not let the quiet whispers of deception work our way into our life. We have to accept a world where money is around us. That's not a choice. But, and the big is that it's that big negation moment. But when we filter all things through the lens of God, through the worship of God, through the prayers with God, it holds no mastery over us. For our service is purely to one, to the Lord, the one God, the living God, through our King, Jesus Christ. So, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. Keep your prayers focused on all things before us through the lens and eyes of God. And when we do that, a lot of these traps start to fall away. The hooks that try to keep us back, keep us in the old way as we move forward into this new blessed world that we're building. A world built on the foundation of faith and love and the words, true words, in God we trust. God is with us, he'll never forsake us, and God always wins. And in that part of the glory of that victory is he's opening our eyes and our hearts to him to show us how much we can enjoy this world free of those burdens, free of our worries of what we need, for he'll provide everything as long as we trust in him and follow him in all things. So have a blessed day. I'll see you shortly for the next show, Storm Dispatch. So either then or until the next time. God bless, and out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Revival.